Hello, this is Michael Ray, editor of Redstone Science Fiction. I'm pleased to welcome you to our first story podcast. You'll be hearing Freefall from Redstone SF No. 1. The story was written by Peter Roberts and is read for us by Amanda Fitzwater. Peter Roberts grew up near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, earned a BS at the University of Pittsburgh, and currently lives in Central Ohio. Over the past 30 years or so, he has had poems and stories published in numerous genre and literary magazines. Amanda Fitzwater is from Christchurch, New Zealand. She's been published in Imbrand SF and the earthquake relief anthology Tales for Canterbury. She blogs at picklethink.blogspot.com. All right, enough from me. Let's get started.
Freefall by Peter Roberts. She heard a faint hissing sound, or thought she did. She wasn't quite sure. Perhaps this was just what absolute silence sounded like. The silence of death, of the void between the stars. At least she could still see. She looked at the dim, diffuse red glow that filled her field of vision. Or was that just the way utter darkness looked if you stared into it long enough? She couldn't remember. The hissing had stopped. No, there it was, too faint to make sense of. But slowly, slowly, she thought she could almost hear a voice or voices in it. But faint, so faint. Not like voices in another room, more like voices in another universe. Voices. She was drifting away from sanity again. Not a pleasant feeling. Voices. The voices became a babble. She felt a crowd walking past her but could see nothing. She heard snippets of conversation, sometimes garbled. So I was saying to Lama the other day we should go down to... Lama? What kind of name was Lama? The Billiken quotient, but over the last 3 days the Zookind numbers have been increasing quite dramatically. I don't... This was not making sense. No one noticed her here. Perhaps no one could see her, just as she could see no one. More likely, she wasn't here at all. She felt disoriented, even more than when, during training, she was in zero-G for the first time. Learning to function in zero-G had been hard. It felt a bit like flying, a bit like floating, and a lot like falling. Too much like falling. It was the sort of thing you hoped you'd never have to use in real life, like the fire drills or the explosion training, or like the isolation tank. That's what it felt like now, being in an isolation tank. But she wasn't in an isolation tank. Was she? She didn't think so, and yet that didn't seem entirely wrong either. Where was she? Vague, unpleasant memories were milling around at the back of her mind, but never quite wandered within reach. She wanted to remember what had happened, how she came to be here, and yet she was afraid too of what she might remember. She slept. It was not a restful sleep. She woke in panic several times, feeling unable to move. In fact, she couldn't move. She didn't feel as though she were in restraints, but she couldn't move. She slept. She woke in panic. The ship, it was likely to break apart, possibly quite violently. She had to tell them now. Slowly, the panic subsided to a merely unbearable fear. She slept again. And once more she awoke. What had happened to her? She seemed to remember something about an explosion or an accident. Yes, she had been in Section 7 to check out some slightly anomalous readings. Then what? A breach of some sort, she thought. Then she was taken to the infirmary and placed in the life support tank. That way they could debrief her, try to find out more about the accident, what had occurred and why. Why weren't they still here, quizzing her? She struggled to remember events in some semblance of order, but it was just a sequence of disconnected images. Medtechs hovering, fussing over her. The questions she couldn't answer because she couldn't remember anything. Lights flickering, then going out. The shockwave, shaking, bouncing her more than she thought possible, suspended as she was in the viscous liquid medium of the tank. And people rushing around, some with purpose, some in panic. Then the second shockwave, much worse than the first. After that, nothing. Only the silence and darkness she had been in for what now seemed like months. Fear grasped her, chilled her, disoriented her. She fought for air, or tried to. She noticed she wasn't breathing. After a time, she regained a degree of composure. As calmly as she could, she reviewed her situation. What were her chances of rescue? She was quite certain that the only reason she had survived the second shockwave was because she was in the tank. No other part of the ship offered anything like the same level of protection. She felt confident, if that was the right word, that no one else had survived. So there was no possibility of local rescue. And as it would be years before a distress signal, if one had even been sent, would reach the closest settlement, rescue from elsewhere seemed even less likely. As she began to recognise her true situation, she imagined the stars, cold, immobile, and unblinking, all around the fractured, fragmented hull of the spacecraft. She experienced a sort of cosmic isolation, felt an inhuman, impossibly vast loneliness. Gaining a semblance of control over herself again, she continued to evaluate her condition. How badly had she been hurt? That was easy to answer, unfortunately. The tank was only for the most severe injuries. The tank would sustain life while vital organs were regrown or artificial replacement parts prepared. Oh, God. She wanted to scream. But of course, she couldn't. An ethereal coldness infiltrated her body, what was left of it, in spirit. She wondered how long the tank's life support system could hold out on emergency power. She wondered how long forever was. She hoped it wasn't long.
We love the way that turned out. Excellent job by both the author, Peter Roberts, and the vocal artist, Amanda Fitzwater. This is Michael Ray for Redstone Science Fiction. Thanks for listening.